Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jengda and you're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is an organization dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible for everyone. Alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan is a very beautiful and powerful opportunity for learning and spiritual growth in the life of a Muslim. Therefore, Qalam has put together amazing resources for you and your family, your community to benefit from in the month of Ramadan, from a webinar on how to prepare to recitation of the entire Quran, the meaning and the message of the whole Quran, the du'as from the Quran, special webinars and events in regards to the Battle of Badr, the last 10 nights and Laylatul Qadr, and so much more. We're very excited and happy to bring you all of this Ramadan programming. Be a part of the good work that we are doing at Qalam, educating Muslims, educating people all around the world by going to supportqalam.com. Donate, contribute, give generously, and have your share in the Sadaqa Jariya and the amazing work that is going on. Supportqalam, QALAM.com. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sorry for the delay. Just had a little bit of technical issues, but alhamdulillah, we're good to go now. Welcome again to another session of our daily Qalam Ramadan programs. Today's session is on the fifth juz. In our series called The Message of the Quran, where we go through the tafsir of an entire juz every single day. So this session is sponsored by the organization Helping Hand for Relief and Development. They have been a trusted partner for Qalam for many, many years. They've served people in need around the globe since 2005 with a focus on international relief and development. Since its inception, they have assisted millions in need with emergency aid and have lifted thousands out of poverty with their long-term assistance programs. So please, please, please support them this Ramadan. They are focused on continuing the fight to eradicate hunger across the world with the Share Your Plate campaign. So to learn more, please visit hhrd.org/qalam to find out more information and also to donate as much as you can and help those in need this Ramadan. So today's session, like I mentioned, is the fifth juz of the Quran. It is also known as Wal Muhsanat. Okay, so sometimes the each juz in the Quran, it goes by not just the juz number, but also the name. So that's the name of this juz that we're going to be covering today. It covers a majority of Surah An-Nisa, which is the fourth surah in the Quran. Specifically, it covers the ayahs number 24 to 147. Okay, 24 to 147. Surah An-Nisa is a Madani surah, means that it was revealed in the Madani era. Surah An-Nisa, An-Nisa, that word, it means the woman. So this juz, it has 124 verses, and all of those verses are in Surah An-Nisa. So let's get right into it in terms of what is covered in this surah in this juz, in these ayat of Surah An-Nisa. So this surah has many, many important themes. I'm going to mention in our conversation today two of the major themes that this surah covers. So the first major theme that this surah covers is, it's called the woman. So many issues related to woman, family life, marriage, they're all mentioned in the Quran. Divorce is also mentioned in the Quran. So the surah, the beginning part of the verses of this juz, talks about some of these issues that are covered. Then as we continue into the surah, we get into some there are spiritual issues, of course, that are related to, that are going to be mentioned. In ayah 31, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in tajtanibu kaba'ira ma tunhauna anhu, nukaffir ankum sayyi'atikum wa nudkhilkum mudkhalan karima. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse talks about how if you stay away from major sins in things that are defined as major sins in the religion, such as theft and killing and zina and fornication, things like that, these major sins, نُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you for the minor sins, for the minor issues, okay? You staying away from major sins is a good deed in and of itself, and that will be a means of you entering into a beautiful place, that place being Jannah. وَنُدْخِلْكُمْ مُدْخَلًا كَرِيمًا, a very beautiful, gracious place, and that place is Jannah. So one thing that we can remember and reflect on through this verse is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not require us as Muslims to be perfect, right? We're not angels. We are human beings. We do make mistakes. The idea is that what do we do when we commit those mistakes? What do we do when we make those, make mistakes, make sins, right? Commit sins. Of course, we try to do our best to stay away from the major things, but what about the minor ones? Well, first of all, staying away from the major ones is a means for those minor ones to be forgiven and to be wiped out, cleaned away as if they never happened, right? So we try to do our best to stay away from sins, but then our good deeds are actually means for us to wipe out our minor small sins and be means for us to enter into paradise. As we continue forward in the surah, the very next verse is وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوا مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضُكُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ لِلْرِجَالِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا اكْتَسَبُوا وَلِلنِّسَاءِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا اكْتَسَبُوا. And the ayah continues. This verse talks about how is inclusive of one of the secondary major themes in the surah, which is the importance of the unity within the Muslim community. Okay, and so this verse specifically talks about how part of maintaining the unity of the Muslim community is to not covet what your Muslim brother or sister has and wants, right? To not want what they have, being grateful for what you have and not being jealous of other people, not being jealous of what your neighbor has, what your brother or sister has, knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to whom He wills, and He gives, you know, increase to one person and in maybe one aspect of life or one thing, and maybe decrease in another aspect. But that doesn't mean that you don't have anything. That doesn't mean that you don't have a lot from Allah. So knowing that what you have is a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's something to be grateful for, and that part of maintaining the happiness and peace and tranquility within a community is to not want and covet what another has. As we continue into the surah, ayah number 36, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about, this is a very, very, very key verse, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about not only the relationship that we should strive to have with Him, but the relationship that we should strive to have with the people around us. Again, kind of emphasizing that communal aspect. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينِ وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُبِ وَالصَّاحِبِ بِالْجَنْبِ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ مَنْ كَانَ مُخْتَالًا. So this verse, it starts off by saying that our primary responsibility is to take care of our relationship with Allah, worship Him. That is our relationship with Allah. We are worshipers of Allah. And to keep that first and foremost in our mind, and not to associate any sort of partnership with Him. وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. And this concept of shirk, or not doing shirk, is going to come up many times throughout the Quran. So we'll bring that up again. But that's not it. Right? That's not the only relationship that we need to maintain. We have relationships with the people around us. So primarily, our default in terms of all relationships should be ihsan. Now, ihsan is an interesting word. I want us to understand ihsan as being excellence, as us trying our best. It does not mean perfect, because perfect is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect. Perfect is unattainable. We are not perfect human beings, right? We just talked about how we make mistakes. However, we all have a responsibility to try our best. And to our parents, we must be our best. وَبِذِ الْقُرْبَى, to our relatives, we must be our best. وَالْيَتَامَى, to the orphans, we must be our best. وَالْمَسَاكِينِ, to those who are needy and poor, we must be our best. وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى, وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُبِي, right? To our neighbors, we must be our best. وَالصَّاحِبِ بِالْجَنْبِ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ, and those who are traveling, and those whom we have responsibility towards. وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ مَنْ كَانَ مُخْتَالًا فَخُورًا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not at all love those who are arrogant and those who are proud and kind of boastful over what they have, right? So in the previous ayah that we just covered, we talked about don't covet, right? Don't want what another person has. But similarly, the person who has maybe more, right? They should not be boastful over it. In fact, they should be using what they've been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be best to those, to be best to the relations that they have, to be best to their community. Now to get, again, hone in on that concept of best. My best to my neighbor may look very different than another person across the world or across the country, their best to their neighbor. Right? So best is, ihsan is defined, you know, it's being honest with yourself about what you can do, how you can, as an individual, can you be the best in all of your relationships, and not, again, comparing your relationships to anybody else, but being balancing that with being honest with yourself about what truly is the best that you can do. As we continue forward in the surah, we talk about how it's important to give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how that reward is multiplied. So then in ayah number 40, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن تَكُ حَسَنَةً يُضَاعِفْهَا وَيُؤْتِ مَنْ مِنْ لَدُنْهُ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. Okay, so giving for the sake of Allah, we often, again, from a very worldly perspective, if you're giving from yourself, that means something is being taken from you. But we have to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't, the math is not supposed to add up. Okay, it's not subtraction. When we give, we have to understand that it's not actually addition. We don't get back the same amount. We get back multiplied. Daf, you daf. Right? We get back multiplied amount of reward for what we gave. So giving for the sake of Allah is, again, related to our relationship with Allah as well as the relationship with the community around us. We continue. This surah is a Madani surah. So Madani surahs are known for legality. Okay, a lot of legal rulings are mentioned group of surahs that are considered Madani. So some of the legal rulings that are mentioned in this surah specifically are about prayer. Okay, so one of the ayahs, ayah number 43, has to do with not entering into prayer in a state of intoxication. So this was one of the ayahs related to the gradual prohibition of alcohol and intoxicants. So it's not the complete ruling. Obviously, nobody should be entering into prayer intoxicated even now. But this was not the final ruling that was laid out in regards to alcohol being prohibited. The ayah doesn't stop right there. It actually continues. The rest of the ayah refers to purification in order to pray. So the rules related to tayammum, if somebody does not have access to usable water for the means of purification for prayer, they would perform something called tayammum. And those verses, those rules and regulations are found in this ayah as well. The next verse that I want to cover is ayah number 48, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءَ وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ افْتَرَى إِثْمًا عَظِيمًا. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He does not forgive shirk. Okay, shirk, we just talked about how it's associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but He forgives everything less than that, right? So think about this. As long as we don't, you know, commit shirk, which is basically being non-Muslim, right? As long as we are Muslim and we don't commit shirk, we don't associate partners with Allah, everything else is forgivable. So what stops us from asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness? What stops us from asking? And that's exactly it. It's us. We hesitate from asking. It's not on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's side. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and His promise is the one that's answered. His promise is fulfilled. He says that He will forgive anything less than shirk. So why do we hesitate from asking for forgiveness? Why do we hesitate? You know, why do we think that our du'as are not going to be answered when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises that He will forgive and He will answer, and, you know, when we make the mistakes? It's just our job to ask. That's all it is. So keeping that in mind in this month of Ramadan, that our mindset, that we may make mistakes. Absolutely. We may make mistakes. That's the nature of being human. But in terms of our relationship with Allah, that doesn't deter our, that doesn't distance us from Allah. The very act of making a mistake does not distance us from Allah. It's about what we do afterwards. Are we going to use that as an opportunity to turn back to Allah? Or are we going to say, hey, I made this mistake and I'm just going to keep on separating myself from Allah? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and guide us towards seeking forgiveness from Him. As we continue on, the next verse that I want to cover in this surah is ayah 54, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, فَقَدْ أَتَيْنَا, this is part of the ayah, the latter half of the ayah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَقَدْ أَتَيْنَا آلَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَأَتَيْنَاهُمْ مُلْكًا عَظِيمًا. And then he continues in ayah 55, فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ آمَنَ بِهِ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ صَدَّ عَنْهُ وَكَفَى بِجَهَنَّمَ سَعِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He has given the family, the descendants of Ibrahim alayhi salam, He has given them great kingdom. He's given them the book and wisdom. However, among them are those who believe and among those who are those who didn't. Okay? And for those who didn't, وَكَفَى بِجَهَنَّمَ سَعِيرًا, then hellfire is sufficient as a punishment for them, sufficient as a place for them to be. And so one thing I want to reflect on in this verse is that we can find, you know, maybe in this dunya, maybe in terms of a material sense, we can find a lot of solace and consolation in the fact that maybe we grew up in a certain environment. Maybe we grew up in a certain family. Maybe, you know, there are certain evils or ills of society that don't affect us or, you know, hardships that don't affect us because we have some sort of, you know, family background or lineage or whatever. In the case of spirituality, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who your family is, who your daddy is, who your mother is, what your lineage is, or where you grew up from, because even the great family of Ibrahim al-Sam, the great Ibrahim al-Sam, even amongst his family and amongst his descendants were many prophets. They were given wisdom. They were given, you know, prophethood, a direct connection, relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by means of revelation. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even says about them that there is those who still didn't follow the straight path. And even amongst them, they will still end up in hellfire for their deeds and their lack of belief, right? So the only thing that's going to save us from that same sort of fate is not going to be our family. It's not going to be our lineage. It's not going to be our heritage. It's not going to be where we were born or where we die. It is going to be our deeds and our actions and our belief. Okay. So keeping that in mind, that it must be whoever we are, we must constantly be struggling and keeping this in mind. As we continue, the next verse that I want to continue on is ayah number 58. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. Okay, this ayah is very interesting. It translates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands you all for you to fulfill, give people their due right. Okay, give people their responsibilities, their due right. One of the circumstances in related to this ayah being revealed was at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he entered Mecca for the conquest of Mecca, Fath Mecca. And the Kaaba, the keys of the Kaaba were owned by the family of Uthman bin Talha. At this time, he was not a Muslim, okay? And so that his family had control over the keys of the Kaaba for all time. That was their due right. And at that moment, during the time of Fath Mecca, those keys were, there are people who didn't understand that was the family's right, and they were trying to take the keys away from Uthman bin Talha, but these ayahs were revealed, telling us and showing us that, you know, it doesn't matter who you are, when something is your due right, you deserve it, right? And it must be given. That just because a community or a society has power or is an authority, that doesn't give the people in power any sort of right to take away the rights of other people. Not at all, right? And part of creating and maintaining that societal, communal peace and tranquility in the Muslim Ummah, we have to remember to give everybody their due right. That don't, just because somebody may be in power and authority does not give them the right to take away the rights of other people. Then we continue. Ayah number 78, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us about the reality of death. That is the one thing that if that is the one thing that is guaranteed in this life is that we are going to pass away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the Quran, أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتِ وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيَّدًا. That wherever you may be, death will find you. When it's supposed to find you, it will find you. Even if you were in lofty towers, even if you were high above the ground, if you are supposed to pass away at that moment, death will find you. So when we try to use our Ramadan to refocus our lives, remember that ultimately there is one day that we are going to pass away, that this life will be no more. So what are we doing to prepare for it? We cannot avoid it. That is the one thing that is guaranteed for us, is that we cannot bypass death. Okay? So the reality of death. The next ayah that I want to cover is ayah number 82. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اِخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Okay? One of the beautiful things about the Qur'an, one of the beautiful things that I love to reflect on the Qur'an, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us, He created us. He created us with brains, okay? And He created us with brains, that the purpose of our brains is to think, to consider, to use them, to reflect. We use our brains. And so when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to use our brains when we think about our spirituality, He says in the Quran, don't you, أَفَلَا يَتَدَّبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Isn't it time, shouldn't you be reflecting on the Quran? Look at it. This beautiful Quran that you're reading in. And what a perfect month to be able to do that in. This month of Ramadan, the month of Quran. That when you reflect on the Quran, وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ. If it were from other than Allah, if these were someone else's words, لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اِخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. You would find so many contradictions in it. I mean, reflect on your own life. How many of you between today and maybe even a year ago, 5 years ago, 5 minutes ago, you've changed your thought process, you changed who you are, and you've said something today contradictory than what it was before. What it was even 5 minutes ago, what it was a year ago, what it was a day ago, right? But the Quran being revealed over a period of 23 years, there is absolutely no contradiction in it. Subhanallah. It could only come from the words of Allah. If it was by any other human or anything else, there'd be so many contradictions and differences in it. So think about that. Use your brain, use your mind, reflect on that miracle. That there are absolutely no contradictions in the book of Allah. Therefore, it's only from Allah. It's only something that could be divine. The next verse, like we talked about how the surah has a lot to do with legality and ruling. So another verse that has to do with legality and ruling is in ayah number 86, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us how to greet and respond to greetings. He says, وَإِذَا حُيِّيتُم بِتَحِيَّةٍ فَحَيُّوا بِأَحْسَنَ مِنْهَا أَوْ رُدُّهَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَسِيبًا. So if you are greeted, then greet with something similar to it. Actually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, فَحَيُّوا بِأَحْسَنَ مِنْهَا أَوْ رُدُّهَا. First, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, greet with a greeting, respond with a greeting better than it, or something like it, with a slight, you know, an encouragement to always try to strive for better. When somebody greets you, we don't have the option to not respond. No. That's not what we do as Muslims. To maintain the peace and tranquility with the Muslim community, and part of the etiquette that we have with our fellow Muslim brothers and sisters is to, when somebody greets you, you respond to them. Now, what should we do? What should we strive to do? Is to respond with something better. But if we can't do that, then at least the same level. The same level. Somebody says assalamu alaikum, responding with assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, and continuing from there. So that's a really important part of just that greeting, how just greeting somebody can help maintain the fabric of the community. Next, there are further rulings related to repercussions for harming other people, Muslim or not. Then there's rulings related to praying on the battlefield or in other difficult situations. Then we jump to ayahs 117 to 120. This is an interesting conversation or an interesting insight into shaitan. Right? I know that sounds very interesting, but this is a little bit of an insight into what Shaitan promises. He makes all sorts of promises. Okay? He says that he's going to misguide people. He says very clearly, I will misguide people. Right? And I will command them or ask them, you know, whisper to them and command them to do things that are displeasing to you, Allah. Right? But he doesn't have any ability to control that, right? He just has the ability to whisper those, whisper those commands into our ears, and then we have the choice whether we want to follow or not. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala closes off this verse, this section that talks about the Quran by saying, يَعِدُهُمْ وَيُمَنِّيهِمْ وَمَا يَعِدُهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. The devil, he makes all sorts of promises. He makes all sorts of promises about, you know, why you should follow him. And, you know, human beings, they listen and they take him as a wali. They take him as a protective friend. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that all of those promises, they don't amount to anything at all in any way, shape or form, right? It's just misguidance. It's just ghurur. It's just fake, right? There's no... there's no substance to them, right? So keeping that in mind, that why do we give Shaitan at all any sort of leverage upon us, right? When we know the only one whose promises are going to absolutely be fulfilled are the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ayah number 135 is about standing up for justice, right? We talked again about how this surah is related to community and maintaining community. So standing up for justice is so important. That's part of maintaining, again, the fabric of the community. And lastly, as we close off on this juz, on ayah number 147, probably arguably one of the most important verses of this juz, مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِن شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ شَاكِرًا عَلِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he does not at all punish you. Allah is talking to us. He does not punish you if you are grateful and you believe. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciates, Shakiran, appreciates all your good deeds and all your actions and your belief, and he is fully aware of everything that has to do with his creation. So as we close off, let's reflect on that for this month. That if there's one thing that we need to do, we're trying to stay away, we're trying to be in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's good graces. We want to be on the right side. We want to be entered into a good place, Jannah, right? Jannatul Firdaus. We do not want to enter into hellfire. How do we do that? Good deeds and good actions. And part of those good deeds and good actions is belief and gratitude. Believing in Allah and gratitude. Knowing that that is what's going to keep punishment away from us. Knowing that those are things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciates. Right? Don't we want to be appreciated by Allah? Don't we want the appreciation of Allah? Don't we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to recognize what we have done? So let's try. Let's try to spend this month earning the appreciation of Allah, earning our paradise by doing what we can to be grateful for what we have and believing and doing as many good deeds as we possibly can, trying to stay away from major sins so that our minor sins are covered up and forgotten and really end up in a good place, meaning Jannatul Firdaus. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to take advantage of this month in all the ways possible, knowing that he sees and appreciates it, even the small actions, even the small deeds. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq to be able to do what is best for us in this month. Finally, I want to close off on appreciating everyone for joining in with me today in this session, in this short session on the verses in Surah Nisa that are in Juz number 5. And we ask you to please continue supporting the work that we do at Qalam, and please actually support us through supportqalam.com. Jazakumullahu khairan, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruk wa natubu alayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.